welcome back to the Smashy Business Show. I am Farah Bashir.
And I'm Richard Fitzgerald. For those listening on the podcast, we're in a studio in Dubai Production City, and the guys do a really nice job at like dimming the lights before the show. But when they talk you in your earpiece, Farah, the lights just prop up and it's very like blinding.
Boom.
So even though it's early morning and we're inside, it's good aircon, I think we need sunglasses.
I think honestly, like maybe it kind of like wakes us up.
Yeah,
because like, you know, like when the lights are dim,
yeah,
you're gonna go like, oh my god.
What about branded sunglasses, Farah? But of course, you wouldn't hear it on the podcast. But
we should do that. we should join the Smashy Show with glasses. Let's do that on Friday.
Let's do that.
I'm done.
All right. Cool.
I am.
How's it going? How are you?
Definitely.
You've been covering. You and I were both at the same event yesterday. We went to the AI Summit. We'll talk a bit about it. But yeah.
Yes, we should. Honestly, it's very cool because at this point, honestly, I have seen a robot, and I was like, whoa. But before talking about it, I'm just gonna give like a quick roundup of our headlines for today. ADNOC redeems 1.99 billion bonds, maintains full ownership of ADNOC distribution. UAE-based prop tech stake closes 14 million Series A. And of course, Elon Musk to ban Apple's devices over OpenAI integration sale, which is honestly kind of like exciting at this point because a lot of AI.
So basically, your first story there, Farah, is the ADNOC one. Let me just explain this because this is a bit complicated. So the headline is that they redeemed, that they gave back cash, right?
Yes.
So let me just explain this. So basically, they fully redeemed its US dollar dominated on senior unsecured bonds. In other words, these are exchangeable bonds. So basically, they issued them in May 21 with an option to settle through a share conversion in May 4, 24, right? Mm-hmm. And when they say they settled the bonds with a cash payment at $1.195 billion, along with up to $4 million in applicable interest. So that means anyone who bought those bonds in that time were given the cash back.
Yeah.
And you could have exchanged them into shares. So bonds are different to shares, right?
They're like loans, no?
Yeah, exactly. So companies, usually, often in sukuks and things like that, often, sukuk is another word for bond, it's an Islamic bond. So often we hear of government bonds and their loans and their fixed income. You have US Treasury bill bonds as well. So what happens when a corporate does it is it acts in the same way as fixed income. And there was an option to convert these into shares. Now, what's interesting is this is approximately 7% of ADNOC's distribution share registered capital. So they bought it back. Mm-hmm. Now, if you remember recently, we did a story where IHC under Sheikh Tahoon, that conglomerate in Abu Dhabi, they also did buybacks.
Yeah.
So people say buybacks is a good way of keeping the price high, but also it has different ways of, you know, it allows for companies to sell more shares in the market, again, at a different price and different things. It has pros and cons, but this is essentially, it's a redemption of a bond, but it's also kind of like a share buyback.
Yeah.
So instead of adding the bond into selling more shares, the free float remains unchanged at 23%. So when ADNOC Distribution went public a few years ago, there are two or three entities of ADNOC public now. And when Distribution went public, they sold 23%. This would have been the bonds, you know, exchangeable would have been issuing 30% of the total value of Distribution onto the market. But now they've kept it at 23%. That's floated, so ADNOC own 77%. And yeah, it's just reiterated their long-term commitment to ADNOC Distribution and support the recently unveiled midterm growth strategy. So it's just interesting, you know, that's a similar trend that's happening now in Abu Dhabi. Profits are high, keep shareholder value, do buybacks, and it's the second one we've seen.
Well, as well, because ADNOC Drilling, part of the ADNOC, bought a company called Garden Technologies.
Yeah.
With the help of another company, Abu Alpha Holding. So what Garden Technologies does is that it provides high-tech tools for drilling oil wells, helping to collect and analyze data in real time, which is, by the way, it's a big purchase, of course, because like it was ADNOC Drilling bought 67.2% of the Garden Technologies for $450 million.
Yeah,
it's a big number, and people think that it, of course, you know, everyone thinks that this is a profitable deal.
Yeah. But no, absolutely. And, you know, don't underestimate the size of ADNOC. You know, we see these service stations and the logo. But a quick search on Perplexity, which is a really cool AI app that I like, it tells me that they've got 17 Farah operating companies. So ADNOC onshore, ADNOC offshore, drilling, gas processing, sour gas refining, LNG, which is the big thing at the moment, especially out of Qatar, liquid nitrogen gas.
Yeah.
ADNOC have one of those subsidiaries. They have a logistics and services one. ADNOC Distribution is one of the 17 companies, logistics and services. Distribution, I mentioned, industrial gas. Yeah, they've got many more here as well. Al Darfa Petroleum, Al Yasa Petroleum, ADNOC Global Trading. So there's many, many entities under that. And yeah, Dr. Sultan is heading up all of that for ADNOC as well. So yeah, Dr. Sultan Al-Jaber, who also co-chaired the, not co-chair, but on top of this role, he also managed the COP28 that happened in Dubai.
Yes. Funny thing, because yesterday I met a guy called Hamdan. I interviewed him on Smashy Business.
Yeah.
He is the ADNOC Technology Manager.
Okay.
I wanted to get like some details out of him, but he told me that he cannot really get anything out of it, which has been really exciting. And we did talk, and he did tell me that we were talking about AI, of course, and he was telling us how he will be using AI through ADNOC, and he was like, you know what? But I can't give you any more details.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
well, this is interesting. You know, we talk about AI and I mentioned Perplexity, and it was an AI retreat. But of those 17 entities, you know, does AI come in at an Asian entity or is it across them all? You know, I remember at the Abu Dhabi Drift event, that cool kind of smart mobility event recently, I hosted a panel with three people from the Emirates Group innovation team, and everything can kind of go across the group, you know. So it's just kind of a common theme that we're talking about. You and I had a chat about EMAR, the group, recently, and now we're talking about ADNOC, and obviously technology and AI would play a role. And this gentleman, Hamdan, that you met, and he's on our Instagram stories, Smashy Business. You know, it would be interesting to know, can he do technology across all 17 entities, or is it with distribution or gas, or you know?
I mean, when I spoke to him, he was very, like, he did not really want to give me a lot of any details, to be honest. So I had to, like, take anything out of him. Even the interview, he was very hesitant to do it. But, of course, I told him, like, listen, it's only 30 seconds. I just want your opinion on AI and how you can implement that with ADNOC. And he's like, fine. But he did say that they will be implementing it because like that just like shows how AI will actually be implemented in everything, really.
Yeah.
You know, and as well, like speaking of that, yesterday we both went to the AI retreat event.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. They spoke about how the UAE is taking AI in a different way and how there is AI, however, the security and privacy is still going to be there, which is important. But we'll talk about that later as we do talk about AI and Elon Musk, of course. So before that, let's talk about the UAE-based prop tech stake closes $14 million Series A.
Yeah, so basically stake, you know, they've got a lot of PR around this week and just an interesting company. You know, we're seeing lots of innovation lately in different areas. You know, for consumers, this is great because these are all funky apps. These are all about personal wealth. These are all about investing.
True.
And stake of sort of, you know, I guess Farah, it's in the prop tech sector.
Yeah.
And so they basically started about 4 years ago and they allow you to do micro payments to buy a property and to get the returns on it in that way.
That is true. But now Stake is actually planning on to expand its service to Saudi Arabia this year. And in 2022, Stake raised $8 million from investors, which is a good number. And because they started in 2021, by the way, by Rami Tabbara, Manar Mahmasani, and as well Ricardo Brizido, which is like, it's a cool team. And for them to raise $8 million in 1 year, because they opened in 2021 and in 2022.
Yeah, and you can buy, like, you know how much property there is at the moment in Dubai? Mm-hmm. Like, you can literally own a piece of property for a minimum of 500 dirham on this app.
Yes.
Like, that's the starting price.
Yeah, I mean, also, this is a very convenient application for, because right now people are very in investing rather than renting, including a lot of, I would say, everyone, you know what I mean? Like, from me, myself, and my family, and everyone really. So the application, I think, is very convenient.
Yeah.
For everyone who is looking forward to investing, maybe does not have the money for it yet.
They basically receive rental income proportional to their ownership stake and can benefit from the property value appreciation. So it's quite interesting.
It is for sure quite interesting, of course, because like this is the it's like Stake is an online platform, right? That just it's just gonna make it easier for everyone to invest in properties. And
so they basically own the property and rent it out, and they have 100 rental properties worth approximately 200 million dirhams since inception. They're growing at 17% monthly in investors and asset under management, and they're in that cool DIFC space. And this was what series was this far? Was it Series A?
Series A, yes.
Yeah, $14 million as well. So well done to them.
Dollars,
good
yes.
to see. Good to see the prop tech space growing. Usually, Waleed Shahabi is on this show, and he's the CEO. He hosts the Wednesday show here with Lubna usually, and he's a prop tech founder himself with Real Keeper, and Keeper is another one that's you're able to manage all your property assets. And they're also able to manage your rental for you. So it'd be good to get his views in the future on it. But prop tech is obviously a good space. Like we've, you know, Lubna recently attended the Property Founder event. And, you know, we talked about how their financing worked and that they were a good exit for Beko Capital at the time. Recently a restructuring. They're still private, but they're said to be in the unicorn $1 billion valuation. Obviously, Stake are far away from that, but it is another investment for the VC MVEP. If I can get my, I'm a bit like dyslexic with this stuff, but MEVP, which is a Middle East Venture Partners, and they're synonymous with being involved in the Angami, one of the early people 10, 12 years ago in Angami. So this is a nice growth story for them. Looks like they're backing another winner on the prop tech side. So well done to MEVP as well.
I mean, this is all very exciting news, but something closer to our heart, or my heart, which is AI, Elon Musk is to ban Apple devices over OpenAI integration. So what happened is that Apple's WWDC 24 encompassed more than just integrating cutting-edge AI technology, including advancements from ChatGPT with over 1 billion loyal customers. Apple views AI as a means to rejuvenate its consumer base and, of course, counteract a decline in sales of its flagship products. And, of course, in line of all of that, Elon Musk threatened to ban Apple devices from his companies if this were to happen, even though Apple reassured users that their data would remain private, with a paper released detailing safety measures, including private cloud compute.
Yeah, he's taking all the attention on this one, Farah, because Apple were sort of late to the game. Like, we've talked a lot about Google and what their fumbled efforts with AI products, but Apple have this developer event. It's in Cupertino. It's in their beautiful spaceship-like venue, and they bring tech reporters from the region, and it's day two today. So in it, they obviously released lots of stuff. Did you know that the Vision Pro is a year old?
A year old.
Yeah, and they updated it, but no one's using it. So I don't know. But I think he kind of announced that it'll be around the world. But we've never, you know, when it came out and there was these videos of people walking around the street?
Yes, walking around in the metro, by the way.
Yeah, and we haven't seen any in Dubai. So I think we might see more. Like, but a lot of, they didn't do their whole first day just about AI, but AI was getting a lot of the update. The iOS 18 had a lot of AI integrations. OpenAI was mentioned. And Elon Musk has flagged the OpenAI thing as the threat.
Yeah.
We posted on Smashy Business this analogy of that you're going to be using Siri as an AI device, because Apple's secret weapon to AI is Siri, because Siri has never really worked for them. It's been around for years. But if you think about it, you know, we've seen two hardware devices launch in the last 6 months, 8 months in the AI space, one called Rabbit, one called Humane.ai. The Humane developers were actually previously at Apple. And I attended CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas in January this year. And that's where Rabbit was all the talk of the town. It's kind of a mini computer. It's like, if you remember, in the 80s, you'd see movies or whatever, and you'd see paging devices before mobile phones.
Okay, yeah.
People's pager would buzz, and that would mean they have a phone call or a fax or whatever. So these rabbit devices are kind of a homage back to that era of their clip-on things. A little bit like Whoop, but they're clip-on devices. They're wearables, but they don't have a screen. And they're supposed to be plugged into your data, and you're supposed to work with voice prompts. And you know why this is significant, I'm not a technologist, but for people watching on the screen, everyone knows if I do this with my head down and look at my phone, that behavior has become a human's behavior. Not just because the size of the phone. It's interesting also why the apps have taken off is the device, when mobile smartphones, iPhones got big in 2009, 2010, but Steve Jobs' speech is 2007, right? But they didn't really take off for a while.
Yeah.
And because they had to get used to it. But the technology that he was insistent on was, and away from the BlackBerry, was the touchscreen. And if you think about how we move our fingers and all the features and everything to do with swiping, like the amount of the amount of things that have been evolved from the fact that this screen can be touch. Because before, the mobile phone, the Nokias and the BlackBerrys, if you touch the glass, what happened?
It would not.
Nothing. Right? So that was a huge innovation that we kind of forget. And like this idea, imagine not having to use your fingers. Imagine moving away from that. Think of how great our posture would be.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a picture of like how our backs are going to look like in years if we're going to keep on doing that for our phones.
And like people are waiting for this evolution to the headsets and stuff. But until we can get away from using our fingers, we don't need the headsets. But if we can start using voice prompts, and this is what they demoed the other day with Siri, basically talking to Siri, and Siri would read the messages from your mom or your parents or your colleagues on your app that you opt into, and then check your email and check the flight times and check the restaurant bookings and check everything and give it back to you. So this is where we're going, right? Definitely. Just like we're moving to flying cars, just like we're moving there. When we're going there, I have no idea, but we're going there. And everything around this regulation and who owns the data and who owns access and the smart devices, the new smartphone will be a rabbit and humane, but they're the early versions.
Yeah.
You're far too young to remember what it was like. So in 2003, 2007 was the iPhone.
Yes.
What did Apple launch in 2002, 2003?
I was too young.
iPod. And before the iPod, how did people consume music?
Radio. And as well, MP3.
MP3, well done, MP3. And MP3 were crappy little devices. And before that was the Walkman. But we were moving on. MP3 was files. Walkman was cassettes.
Yeah.
And the iPhone, so iPod, basically was a fancy MP3 player.
That's true, by the way.
So now what we're going to get is a fancy Siri player. And they're going to try and do it on the phone. And it might stay on the phone, but I think there'll be a few attempts to do it away from the phone.
I mean, that is honestly, guys, Richard just like
predicted
broke
the future.
Down for you and predicted the future. So like, you know what's going to happen in the future? Like years later, if this happens, don't forget to, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I get this information from podcasts and from listening to people like you, the journalists.
Put this video and put Richard and the actual product and be like, oh my God, Richard Fitzgerald predicted this, you guys.
We don't need to do that for me. It's the people who create the devices are the ones that should be the heroes. But what we need to do is understand it from a media and a consumption point of view. What audio prompts are we going to have in the Smashy apps and the Lovin' app? By the way, download them both. Thanks very much. Bye. So it's up to our developers, and we're just hiring our first ever AI developer in our development team.
Really?
We are. We should do some PR around that. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay.
There we go. So that's it. So we can talk about Elon Musk and be negative and whatever. He's got history with OpenAI. Let's just say that. Because he threw in some cash at the start and he doesn't have any more. So he's got some beef with them that they were supposed to be non-for-profit. Now they're for profit. He uses Grok on his own X, and he's just raised $6 billion to build another LMM LLM. But that's where we are in the AI stuff with Apple. So fascinating.
Exactly. And now, as well, but people are telling him to develop the X phone.
Yeah.
X phone. I mean, that's so cool. Like at this point, if Elon Musk actually develops a phone, yeah. I think it's going to be more of like a spaceship.
It could be. And you know, we saw over the weekend two prominent Dubai personalities are driving around his Cybertruck, Tom Kham and Chris Fade, nicely branded with TK Fitness and Fade Fit Snacks, so good on them. But that's what he's got. That's what Elon Musk has got with the Tesla. And you're right, like what would stop him doing a phone? You know the Starlink thing? By signing up with governments and skipping the satellite and going to Starlink, he's actually building a data cloud phone thing. So having, who knows where he'll go. But yeah, maybe he'll create an AI device.
Who knows? He might create an AI device and as well incorporate AI. Or actually, he might create a phone and incorporate AI in it.
Yeah.
Because Apple as well is planning on expanding its AI capabilities. Because since, you know, AI is now the talk of the world. I mean, I've seen it yesterday and I was at the event and I saw this like image of Sheikh Zayed Road through AI and how it's going to look like in the future. It was beautiful. Well, but anyways, until Amazing. After 10 years, hopefully they're still smashy and we will get on the show. We're going to be like so old.
Yeah.
And we'll be telling you about like the things that we predicted. But this brings us to the end of the show. It was nice to meet you.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, so keep sending us the stories. There's a lot more going on. It's going to be the Eid al-Adha break.
Yes.
We'll be back next Wednesday. We do obviously have two more shows this week. We'll have Annika with you tomorrow with Farah, and I'll be back on Friday morning bringing you the news. Let's see what happens on day two of the Apple conference. And let's see what else happens around the city and the region. And any more announcements, chat to you soon.
Yes, and as well, don't forget we go on podcasts, so tune in and see you tomorrow.
Thanks a lot.